This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Immigration and deportation, that's our cry, has been for quite some time now in the United States of America. And our president today announced that there are no illegal immigrants coming across the border. None, he said. Zero. Nada. Well, I can't verify that personally, but that's what he said. He said we've been successful in corralling this problem that has troubled us now for quite a few years and has ended up in a situation where our country is becoming somewhat, was becoming somewhat destabilized, as is many of the, as are many of the countries in Europe. Europe is facing a problem every bit as bad as that which we were facing. In fact, perhaps worse in many respects, because they are welcoming all of the so-called migrants. They're calling them migrants rather than immigrants or illegal immigrants. They're calling them migrants, and they're just welcoming them at all from all over the world and coming from countries that are destabilizing the very civilizations that have existed for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. If you take a look at Britain, the UK, you'll find that the situation there is that churches are turning into mosques, and that even the Prime Minister of England now has called for Sharia law, a particular appointee for Sharia law, to govern Sharia law in the UK. Can you believe that? Would you think something like that could happen in this country? Well, it could, and it might have if things had continued on as they were. But this is happening in Germany, it's happening in France, it's happening in Italy, and it's threatening the entire identity of Europe. So, this is not an idle issue to deal with. You might say, well, why would you talk about immigration now if indeed our current president has said that it's all under control, everything's wonderful, everything's cool, no worries? Well, we're going to talk about it anyway. Our special guest, Richard Harris, joining us from Colorado. He is heading up an organization that is dealing with these issues and is trying to restore liberty and truth in America. Truth and liberty. We love those two terms in this broadcast, truth and liberty, because without truth, we have nothing to depend upon, nothing whatsoever. And like Pontius Pilate, though, sneering at Jesus when he said he came to be witness to the truth, Pontius Pilate said, what is truth? Come on, what's truth? And indeed, we're saying that all over the country today, even in terms of the matter of immigration. What is immigration? What is legitimate immigration? What is illegal immigration? Why does it even matter? If God made all people in his image, imago Deo, then why should it matter? Should we just receive everyone into the country? Well, the interesting question then remains is there a country without a border? Can there be a country without a border? The answer is no. And Israel's been facing this problem now for a very long time because God established the borders back in Abraham's day, gave us the legal meets and bounds going all the way from southern Lebanon down to Egypt and from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River. Israel doesn't begin to occupy probably maybe no more than a third of that land right now. So Israel has a boundary problem. Israel has a border problem. And the border problem is directly related to the whole Gaza issue. So we can't escape this whole issue of immigration and borders. So we're talking about it here today on Viewpoint with Richard Harris, who is heading up, as I said, a ministry and a website, truthandliberty.net. Do I have that correct, Richard?
Yes, Chuck, you certainly do. Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on today.
Well, we're dealing with something that indeed is crucial. Without borders, you don't have a country. And David was the only one, the only king of Israel that actually extended the borders of Israel to that which God had ordained through Abraham. I think Solomon may have perpetuated that border. But since then, even Israel has not occupied its borders because they've been insulted, transgressed by so many other countries over the ages. So here we are as a relatively new country, depending on whether you measure the country from 1607, when they first landed at Jamestown, or 1776 or 1798 when the Constitution was written. We still have a very new country, don't we?
Well, we certainly do, especially compared to Israel. The entire world is young compared to Israel. But, yeah, we're still a little bit new. You know, the interesting thing about that, Chuck, though, is that it's at about 250 years is about the average life expectancy of an empire or a nation throughout world history. So America is really at an inflection point, and it's more than just immigration, although I know that's what we're here to talk about today. It's part of the whole issue. Who are we, and are we going to be faithful to our founding principles and biblical roots and get back to those things which made our country great, or are we going to continue down this woke progressive path to destruction? Illegal immigration is one of the strategies of the woke movement to destroy America. And that's why it's so critical.
Indeed, and that destruction was not through an insurrection the way we normally think about it, but it was through an undermining, almost like a coup, to welcome in so many people into the country that it would be impossible to politically ever resist a party that would welcome them. And therein lies a lot of the problem, the motivation why this was done. It was not for the benefit necessarily of the immigrant, but for the benefit of political power of those that wanted them. So you have to look at motivation sometimes too, don't you?
Well, absolutely. You know, how many times are we sitting there watching the news and you just wonder, what in the world? Why would they do such a, how could they believe in it? It's such nonsense. Well, you know, there's an old saying, follow the money. And, you know, in this case, it is follow the money, but it's also follow the power. And so the progressives know that if they allow illegals into the country in large enough numbers, they'll have a massive voting block in short order that will allow them to expand and secure their power in a way that, conservatives, if you will, patriotic Americans would never be able to unseat them.
And now what we're finding is that there are uprisings, insurrections, so to speak, of many in places like California and so on against those who have been given the responsibility by the President of the United States and our government to remove these illegals. And there are many who are rising up against this effort, against ICE, and creating power struggles and even a kind of insurrection. We wonder, where are these people's minds and hearts? We'll talk about it when we get back. Stay tuned, friends. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
It's been said that we are a nation of immigrants, so what's the problem? If we're a nation of immigrants, then why should we be concerned about 11 million or 20 million coming in, depending on who you're talking to? We're said to have at least 11 million, maybe 20-some million illegal immigrants in the country today, except for those that have been deported or self-deported over the past few months. So what's the problem if we're a nation of immigrants, Richard?
Well, that's you're kind of alluding to something there, Chuck, which I think is the clever word games that the left plays. The problem is not immigration. The problem is illegal immigration.
Thank you very much.
We need to be very diligent to use the proper terminology, no matter how often the left obscures it. You know, they call them, a few years back they started shifting and calling them, they didn't want to call them illegal aliens, which is what legally they were. They wanted us to call them undocumented workers. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that terminology was crammed
down our throat. Yeah, the undocumented.
Yeah, they're, you know, just undocumented worker. What does that mean? Someone who doesn't have a Social Security card? But anyway, so then it becomes now what they're saying is they don't, they never use the word illegal. Now they're saying migrants. And, you know, a migrant, that's not a proper use of the word. A migrant is someone who travels from one part of a country to another part of the same country. A migrant is not an immigrant. These people have come into America from other nations, so they are therefore immigrating to the United States. They've done it illegally in violation of our laws, and therefore they are properly called illegal immigrants or illegal aliens.
Well, interestingly, and, in Europe, they're calling them migrants.
And here, too.
And here. So if they're just migrants, then what's the big deal? They're all people. We're all made in the image of God, and therefore there shouldn't be any problem. If they're coming in and they're peaceable, then why should we care?
Well, exactly. You know, it's so important, isn't it, Chuck, that we know the Bible, that we know what God's standards are. And you talked about Israel's borders, but the Bible also says in Acts 17:26 that God has ordained the boundaries of the habitations of all nations.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so nations are God's idea. One world government is Satan's idea.
You got that right.
And this is all part and parcel of the one world government agenda of the elite, you know, Marxist elite, you know, around the world, including the Davos, Switzerland, and the new, you know, the World Economic Forum. So
right.
This open borders policy, if it's allowed to stay in force long enough, will obscure the lines of nation states to the point where, like you alluded to, it's irreversible. And I think Europe is realizing that. They drank the Kool-Aid, and now the population, the Muslim populations in those nations are so large that it's almost, there's no way for Europe to catch up. The traditional European families just aren't. First of all, they're not marrying, but second of all, they're not having children.
Right.
Whereas the Muslims are marrying and having children in large numbers, and they're going to be a majority of the population in a few decades.
Just in the latest issue of Time magazine, the prime minister, I think they call him, of Italy, said the problem is so severe in Europe that Europe is on the verge of annihilation if something isn't radically done to correct this problem.
Yeah, and the only solution is deportation and closing the borders, but that won't solve it in Europe because of the population bomb. The other thing that's got to happen in Europe is traditional European families have to start having children again, or else,
yeah,
you know, eventually they'll become Muslim nations just by default.
Well, they are becoming that. In fact, it's been said that if a country has at least 5% Muslims or Islam in the country, that's all that's needed to take over the country, because it will almost inevitably end up being a Muslim country. So we're seeing that take place, and somebody might say, listening to the with laws, has everything to do with morality. It has everything to do with whether or not you can have a country or not. And I think in this country where we have had so-called religious freedom, it's very hard to get a handle on why it should be important not to allow such a massive influx of people from a particular religion that has devoted itself to destroying both Israel and the United States.
Yeah, that's really well said. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter, and the sooner we can be honest with ourselves about this, the better things will be. But the fact of the matter is that Islam is incompatible with the Declaration of Independence. The two are polar opposites in terms of worldview.
And why is it incompatible with the Declaration of Independence? Or maybe you should say incompatible with the Constitution itself. What do you think?
Well, yes, and the Constitution is built on the Declaration, and so the two go together. We need to remember that. The left wants us to separate the two, but they're not. They're inseparable in actuality.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason they're incompatible is because the Declaration of Independence is built on the premise that God created man in his own image and that he endowed man with certain unalienable rights, and the purpose of government is to defend those rights, equality and freedom. And Islam has no concepts along those lines. In fact, the principles of that of Islam are contrary to that. We are
True.
Made to be God's servants, subjects, voluntarily or involuntarily. And the faithful followers of Allah have a duty to subjugate everyone to that thinking. God doesn't give us rights, you know, in their mindset. And to say that we're made in his image is blasphemous. So, you know, that's why you see in Islamic fundamentalist nations, you see tyranny, abuse of women, abuse of children, violence, and all these other sorts of things. They, you know, free elections, democracy, no, they don't care about it. They recognize that that's not what they really believe. They'll play along with it.
Until well, they'll they use, the they'll employ democracy to gain.
Yeah, they'll use it against us.
Excuse me, to gain dominion for Sharia law.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Sharia law. Mm. So Islam, you know this probably, Chuck, but Islam is not just a religion. It's a way of life. It encompasses every aspect of life, and they don't separate jurisdictions between church and state. No. It dominates every aspect of life. So when we say Sharia, when they say Sharia, they mean everything from female circumcision to, you know, putting homosexuals to death to, you know, subjugating the
right.
infidel.
Well, the very name Islam means submission, submission,
correct.
And it's submission either voluntarily or at the point of the sword. That is
right.
what the Quran tells us, what the Hadiths tell us. And so it is inconsistent with the word, will, and ways of the God who made and preserved us a nation, and therefore it's very significant. And Israel's has been dealing with this same issue now for a very long period of time, that there are many Arabs in Israel, and the Arabs that are in Israel, for the most part, are glad to be there under the Israeli government. They really are. On the other hand, if the percentage of Arabs in Israel, Eretz Israel, is allowed to increase significantly, the very nation state of Israel will be at risk for eventual destruction. And so it is a constant thing that they have to deal with. And then when you add the Gaza issue to it and the whole idea of a two-state solution, you have what in effect is, let's inaugurate Gaza as an independent state, a Palestinian state that has its intention to destroy Israel, and let's let them be right on our border together with all the other Islamic nations that are on the border, and we'll welcome them in and because we just want to please the rest of the world. Well, it's like spelling the destruction of Israel. And Benjamin Netanyahu came out just yesterday and gave a speech to that effect. So they are in a terrible, terrible dilemma because the world is putting pressure, especially the European Union. You would think that they who are encountering this problem with the invasion of Islam throughout all of Europe, you would think that they would be more sensitive to what Israel's dealing with, but they're not.
No, it's incredible. I mean, the only way, it seems to me, the only way to explain all of that is you know, spiritually. This has spiritual roots, and you know, the enemy, the prince of this world, if you will, hates Israel, as they are, you know, the custodians of God's covenant, and he hates the church. So, you know, the Bible says he works in the children of disobedience, and that hatred of Israel is irrational. It doesn't make any sense, you know, especially for Westerners to hate Israel is kind of crazy. And you're right. You'd think they would look at the facts and just realize it, but they buy into the Muslim propaganda, hook, line, and sinker. They don't even know these liberal Western, you know, European leaders. They don't know history. They don't know the facts about Islam. And so they buy into this propaganda thinking that Israel's an occupier, that it's abusing the Palestinians and all this stuff. But what you said is exactly right. There are over a million Muslims that are citizens of Israel and Arabs in Israel, and they enjoy all the protection of Israeli law and rights and privileges as Israeli citizens, and they don't want to move to right. A fundamentalist Muslim nation. They'll lose all that. Yep. You know, who wants to go to a heck hole like Gaza?
Well, what's interesting, picking up on what you were saying, is that Europe, according to an article that just came out this week, declaring that Europe has abandoned its Judeo-Christian roots. And if Europe has abandoned and walked away, the question was, why? What is motivating there? Well, again, I think it's spiritual, because Europe, supposedly having Christian roots, was so envious of Israel being the apple of God's eye and the chosen people that they're saying, okay, we're not going to buy into that. We have such envy in our hearts, like the 10 brothers of Joseph having such envy against him, they were going to murder him and throw him in a pit. That same spirit now is enveloping the world against both Israel and anyone who would support Israel, which means the United States. So you have a spiritual component that is so great in the greater picture here, we just can't dismiss it, can we?
No, we cannot. You know, if people would like to study this further, I would suggest going to the Bible. Revelation chapter 12 talks about the dragon being cast down to the earth in great wrath, and he pursues the woman. The woman is an allegory for Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, she gives birth to the male child that rules the nation with a rod of iron. He pursues her, and you know, a flood comes out of his mouth. The world, it says, opens up and receives her. And so I believe that was the time of Israel's diaspora into Europe and everything. And then when she's delivered back to the land of Israel, it says then that the dragon goes after her and the seed, those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So he's after those who have the word of God. He's after those who are part of God's plan and promises. And you know, it is absolutely spiritual. He's inspiring that irrational anti-Semitic hatred in people. And we've seen not just in recent years, so proof in the pudding, we've seen in recent years not just an increase in anti-Semitism, even on America's college campuses and places like that,
right,
but also in Christian persecution all over the world.
Well, what you didn't know is that my latest book, my 11th book, is called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. We're in that moment right now, aren't we?
Oh, 100% we are. Family Research Council just issued a new edition of Hostility to Religion report showing massive spikes in, violent crime and other things like that against Christians and churches.
Exactly.
And this has been going on for a while now.
We'll be right back after this break. Stay hang in there, my friends. Richard Harris, our guest. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
I welcome you back to Viewpoint, friends. Viewpoint does determine destiny, always has, and always will. There are no neutral viewpoints out there. What's interesting about our conversation here today is that it involves two lawyers. Two lawyers. Richard Harris was practicing law for 29 years and represented clients at state and federal levels, including the U.S. Supreme Court. And yours truly practiced law for 20 years there in California as a trial lawyer. And so here we are as two lawyers discussing the matter of immigration, not only in this country, but all over the world, from the viewpoint of the kingdom of God, from the word of God. Now, isn't that fascinating, Richard, that God would raise up a couple of lawyers to discuss this from his viewpoint?
Yeah, it really is. You know, it gets a little dangerous when you get two lawyers together, you know, but
well, how about if those two lawyers are also pastors?
Well, that's a whole lot better, you know.
maybe not. I don't know.
I think there's been some great lawyer preacher combinations throughout the ages, including Martin Luther and Charles Finney.
Actually. Yeah, Charles Finney. Yeah,
in the Second Great Awakening. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you are heading up. You're the executive director of Truth and Liberty. Tell us what Truth and Liberty is.
Absolutely. Well, Truth and Liberty, our mission is to educate, unify, mobilize the body of Christ to stand for truth in the culture. And we do that through a variety of ways, including I have a show myself. It's called the Truth and Liberty Show twice a week. Mm-hmm. We provide resources to the church to enable people to become educated and equipped and to get involved. We've got a resources center on our website that is really, there's nothing else like it out there. It's searchable and all free of charge. We hold events, including our annual Truth and Liberty Conference, which is coming up in just about 3 weeks now. Uh-huh. And we also collaborate with other organizations and mobilize people on the ground to do election work and other types of lobbying work and things like that.
So you're collaborating with them, not commiserating with them.
That's right.
Well, that's good, because it could be a tough road. You know, to some extent, it's a little bit like paddling a canoe straight up Niagara Falls. So that's what I've discovered over the past 30 years, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective, starting with the church house. We can say that the biggest problem is out there in all the other houses of America, but from God's viewpoint, it's the church house. And judgment's going to begin at the church house, not at the pagan's house, but at the church house. And I think that isn't commonly understood or admitted. So we're here on this program. We talk about all these issues, but then bring the focus back to God's people and say, you know, this isn't about information. It's about transformation. God isn't commanding us to be informed, he's commanding us to be transformed, and that by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you have a website, right?
Yes, sir. Truthandliberty.net. And then I also have my personal ministry, which is richardharrisministries.com.
Okay, richardharrisministries.com. And what is that about?
Well, I'm teaching the Bible, teaching the Word of God, and discipling, folks in the Gospel of Grace, Chuck.
And, as a lawyer.
I don't wear my lawyer hat when I do that, but,
you are a lawyer, me. Yeah.
Yeah, our training as attorneys, I think, gives us a unique perspective on the Word of God and gives us insight into a lot of truths that are in Scripture. In fact, I have a series that I've done. It's called The Laws of Grace, and it ought to have a subtitle that would be A Lawyer's Perspective on the Gospel, because I was reading in the Word one day, I think it was John chapter 20, where Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain are retained. And it just flashed in my mind, well, that's agency right there. That's the law of agency.
Yeah.
So I started thinking about it, and there were half a dozen different principles, powerful discipleship principles from the Word that are really reflected in the laws of man as well, like the law of adoption, the law of witnesses, the law of justice, and other things.
And the law of torts. Yeah.
Yes, the law of torts is all... It's all
personal
truth.
Injury.
Moses, the law of Moses.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, our laws in this country, and coming from not so jolly old England today, were all based upon the law of God as contained in the Old Testament. And we saw all of that, how it took place. And people don't understand that. They think the word law is something awful. And because of that, the word truth has been maligned in many respects in the church today and has led us to a problem. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I've had many pastors on this program over the past 7 or 8 years who have admitted that the word obey is the most hated word in the church. What would you say?
Huh. That's the first I've heard of that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Why doesn't it surprise you?
Well, because... You know, over the last 30 years, from my perspective, maybe 40 or 50, what we've seen in the body of Christ, it's not everywhere, but there's been a shift in the way that we understand the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at it as sort of like you're going to the supermarket to buy something to satisfy some need or desire, like, you get to choose between this and that and whatever you think works the best.
Well, that was the church growth movement that began in Southern California in 1970 and metastasized into the seeker-sensitive movement in the 1990s. It was the marketing of the gospel, and the moment you start marketing the gospel is the moment you diminish its requirements. And you try to sell it, and so you don't tell the whole truth, and so it's left many of our churches filled with unregenerate people, and God knows all this. He sees the whole picture, and can you imagine what God, who made and preserved us a nation, is looking at as he looks down on our country and says, wow, you guys think you're so cool, but that's not my viewpoint.
No, it's not his viewpoint. But, don't you thank God for his grace and mercy?
Well, without his mercy, we're all dead meat, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And, going back to you, I wanted to mention this earlier. You made a comment about the judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And
right.
But the inverse of that is also true. God says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Now, I didn't quote the entire verse, but
point
is that it's God's people.
It wasn't the pagans, it wasn't the liberals, it wasn't the progressives, it wasn't Slick Willie in the White House, it was God's people, right?
That's right. And so if the church in America will repent and submit, if you will, to the entire Word of God, then we will see God heal this country.
Well, that's our only hope.
It is our only hope. It always has been our hope. God has always been our hope. And we've just lost sight of that.
Well, indeed we have. Actually, we've lost sight of it largely because of the marketing of the gospel. In 1996, I sat in St. Louis with 4,000 Christian leaders who for the first time were gathered to pray for the church in America. Every other gathering has been to pray for America, but not the church in America. So this was sponsored by Dr. Bill Bright and 4,000 Christian leaders. So we were there, and during that time, during a break, I sat down with one of the leading prayer leaders in this country. Renowned person, not going to mention the person. And I sat down with this person, whom I had known for many years, and I said, how is it that we've had all these national days of prayer, quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14, we started out with heal our land. That was the theme. And then seek his face. And I can't remember, there was another one. And I said, how is it that we never went to the one that was that everything was conditioned on, and that is turn from our wicked ways, repentance? And here was the answer. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Three words. It's too negative.
There you go.
It's too negative. That's why we have no revival. That's why we're in deep trouble. That's why the secular world looks at us in the church house and said, who do you guys think you are? You're not even walking according to the word, will, and ways of God clearly set forth in the Bible. So why are you coming against us as homosexuals? Why are you coming against transgenders? Why are you coming against us? You don't agree with those scriptures anyway concerning divorce and remarriage. What say you?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and I think that the seeker-friendly movement was one of the most, I think it was the most destructive thing to ever happen to the gospel in America and in the West. Because the mantra of the seeker-friendly movement was, well, we need to church people. And to get people churched, we have to make church attractive to them. So don't ever say anything that could be offensive or could be, cause them to run away. And we have so many pastors now that are steeped in that mindset.
So we adopted the Burger King mentality. Got to give the people what they want. Have it your way.
That's it. And then, what about making disciples of all nations? Isn't that? No. We've got to church them. I want to say, what in the world is a churched person? That's not a verb. That's a noun.
Brother, I thought you were an attorney, and you're speaking like this. What hath God taught you?
Amen.
Richard, you see, when we're talking about immigration, illegal immigration, what's happened as a result of first the church growth movement and then the sacred sensitive movement, we have allowed illegal spiritual immigrants into the church, haven't we?
Oh, that's an interesting analogy.
Isn't that? See, that's what we lawyers are prone to seek and look at things behind what appears on the surface.
That's right.
All right. We got to talk more about that. After this break, Richard, hang in there. Okay. Remember what you're about to say. Friends, we're talking with Richard Harris. He is the head of Truth and Liberty. It's a ministry, and truthandliberty.net. And we're going to talk more with him in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, Richard Harris joining us here on Viewpoint, initially to talk about immigration, but we've broadened the conversation. as two lawyers thinking out loud concerning God's work with his people, what's happened to the church in America. Have we really allowed illegal spiritual immigrants into the church who are not really converted, who have been seduced into the church through a seeker-sensitive movement, trying to market the gospel to make people feel good? Is that what we've done? Richard, you were about to say something profound.
Yeah, not sure how profound, but, you know, it's really interesting. In 1963, in Congress, Representative, his name is Herlong, from Florida, read into the congressional record the communist agenda, current communist goals, taken from a book called The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. And one of those goals was to infiltrate the church. And just before that, you'll see make homosexuality and perversion normal, you know, and all these other things related to sexual obscenity and so forth. The list in there is just so eye-opening, because almost every single one of those agenda items has been fulfilled. And it's just incredible. If we want to know, you know, why this country is teetering on the brink of destruction, there's the list of reasons right there.
It's quite amazing. And, you know, as I have watched the trajectory of history since 1945, when I first made my debut upon this planet, I have watched the majority of biblical history flow in front of me. That is end time biblical history, from the formation of the United Nations to the formation of Israel, and onward and forward to Israel regaining Jerusalem. 1963 was a big year, because our President JFK was assassinated, but it also was the period of time, 61 to 62, 63, where Bible reading and prayer were removed from the public schools. By 1982, the Ten Commandments had been removed from the courthouse, the schoolhouse walls, and so on. So we've seen this trajectory taking place. But you say, as a spiritually minded lawyer, that you believe there still is hope for the good old U.S. of A.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful for the United States. I actually believe, Chuck, that a great awakening is underway. There have been many prophetic utterances, prophetic promises about this, and then things have really started to happen. Did you know that in 2024, you probably heard this, but Bible sales went through the roof. We had a 24% increase year over year in Bible sales, and that's compared to just a 1% increase in normal book sales.
And you know where that's coming from? A majority of that is coming from Generation Z.
Yeah, and church attendance is up for all demographics now, all age groups. It was already headed up before COVID. Took a dive during COVID because of lockdowns and everything else, but it has rebounded now, and amongst the younger generations has surpassed it. Young men are going to church in, I would say, record numbers, at least since, you know, probably the last
Far exceeding young women now.
Yeah, and that's really important, I think.
Yes.
And then we have the revivals on college campuses are remarkable, what's happening. Thousands of college students across the country coming to Christ. There were so many getting saved at the University of Georgia, they had to do it in the back of pickup trucks. We have thousands, tens of thousands of people getting baptized off the coast of California and off Florida beaches. And
I just hope that they were not confessions without repentance.
Well, you know,
confession may be good for the soul, but it does no good if you don't repent.
Yeah, and no way to know that, but it's certainly the right, you know, it's certainly a promising sign, I think. And, you know, so God's not done with us. The election of Donald Trump was really quite something, and how I think everyone would agree that God spared his life in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Well, it certainly seems that way, right. Yeah.
And even he attributes it, and you know, God's doing a lot of stuff. Trump is just one, you know, he's the result of the awakening, not the cause of it. But everything works together for God's purposes. And
right.
I just believe that this youngest generations now are waking up because they are recognizing that they've been lied to. And this bill of goods that they've been sold of secular, materialistic, you know, Marxism and all of that has left them broken and unsatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And the window, Satan's overplayed his hand.
Well, really. I think probably, I think they're experiencing the results of that Rolling Stones song, I can't get no satisfaction, but I tried and I tried and I tried.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so let's go back to the immigration now. You sure. live in Colorado. Colorado and California are like spiritual renegades against the whole country. It's just amazing. It amazes me that my friend Jim Dobson made the decision years ago to relocate, focus on the family from Pasadena, California, where I lived and practiced law, to Colorado. But he did, and many other ministries did that there. So what's going on with Colorado? Is there any hope or prayer for Colorado?
Well, thank you for asking that question. Colorado is in desperate need of revival. You know, in 2004, there were four billionaires. We're talking extremely wealthy people. They got together and plotted a course to take over Colorado government. Most of them were connected to, were either outright homosexuals, Jared Polis, who's now governor, and Ted Trimpa, and then a couple other folks who were linked to LGBT stuff. And they just started pouring billions in and targeting low-level races. I could go into the strategy, but that's not needed. The point is that it was so effective that the National Democratic Party took notice. That's why Barack Obama's nomination, the convention was held in Denver in 2008 because of the miracle here, because Colorado had been red for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have continued to execute that plan, which is called the Blueprint, with just unrelenting effectiveness. And, you know, legalizing marijuana here, bringing mm-hmm. in, which ushers in all sorts of folks who aren't necessarily fans of a biblical worldview.
Right.
And then the LGBT movement, Colorado has become a hub of that, especially Boulder, Colorado. The stuff that's been passed in this state would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Well, it should make every Christian blush, every patriot blush. But California and Colorado have become, shall we say, spiritual bedfellows, rejecting the word, will, and the ways of God. And as a result, they've both declared themselves to be sanctuary states. So what does that mean with regard to the issue of immigration and deportation and all of that? What do you see there?
Yeah, well, you know, Jared Polis laughingly says, no, we're not a sanctuary state, but we clearly are. Colorado has passed laws that prohibit law enforcement or government officials from even communicating with ICE or immigration officials when they know that someone in their custody is an illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the local sheriff arrests an illegal alien for murder or burglary or something like that. He cannot call ICE. Even though he may have a request from ICE, he can't cooperate with them. He can't hold that immigrant past what is needed to process him for the crime for which he was arrested. And it causes these illegals to be re-released in the street. Plus, there's all the spending on welfare, on health care, on education, on unemployment, and everything else, housing, to quickly bring the illegals in and get them.
It's also destroying the whole Social Security system, and that together with abortion.
These laws are designed to stiff arm the federal government and to usher in illegals into the state, treat them like citizens. In Colorado, you get a free driver's license, and then you're automatically, once you receive the license or even once you receive any government benefits, you're automatically enrolled as a voter.
Isn't that interesting? So you're not a citizen, but you're enrolled as a voter.
Yeah, you're automatically registered as a voter. That's right.
Wow.
So you see
All right. Now, I have a question for you as we're approaching the end of the program here. We've had a very interesting conversation. I've appreciated it. There are those who say, professing Christians who say, you know, this is very unbiblical to get hard on these illegals, what they call migrants. Where's the love of God in all of this? Why is it that we're not welcoming them into our churches? Why isn't we're not giving them shelter in our churches against ICE? What do you say to that?
You know, we have compassion on anyone who's suffering. I understand that argument. But if first off, I would say that opening our borders as a nation and allowing uninterrupted flow of illegals is not going to materially affect the living conditions of the vast majority of the world. But what it will do is it will ruin this country, which is the a shining city on a hill. And, an example, we can do far more for other countries by preserving our values and our principles and our prosperity in America than we can by opening our borders, which will end up causing there to be no America.
Yeah. But in effect, we've actually desecrated our witness. We've desecrated our influence around the world because we've adopted the pagan ways, the ways of the world, including the practice of homosexuality or breaking up our marriages. We have the highest divorce rate of any country in the world. It's amazing.
Well, that's shameful. It's shameful. Well, the other thing, to the Christian, I would say, who's compassionate toward illegals, If we want to allow more people to enter the country out of compassion, then change the quotas, increase the capacity of our border officials and immigration personnel to process those people. Don't ignore the law. The rule of law is a critical Christian biblical principle.
True.
By having open borders, what they're doing is they're allowing in cartels, drug dealers, violent criminals of all sorts and kinds. Sex trafficking, human trafficking, $30 million worth a week was going on at the southern border under Joe Biden. Is that a Christian value? Does that help people, or does that enslave and destroy people?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, people need to get educated and informed on this and look at this. God is not in favor of such things. The Bible says to submit ourselves to the ordinance of man, and immigration laws are necessary for national sovereignty. And it's fully appropriate and reasonable to enforce them.
Now, for whatever country that might be.
Yeah, every country. And if we want to change those laws to make them more, one way or more restrictive, whatever, fine. But don't ignore the law and set it aside as if it doesn't exist.
Do you know that that has been the history of our entire country? I'm looking at an Encyclopedia World Atlas right now. Came a few years ago, obviously before the internet. And It says the movement of people to the U.S. involving more than 40 million people. Before 1890, immigrants were primarily Anglo-Saxon Protestants for the British Isles, Germany, and Scandinavia. Immigration after 1890 involved mainly Roman Catholics and Jews from Eastern and Southern Europe. And it gives a whole history of what happened in this country. And the laws were changed many different times in order to accommodate the situation. But the laws were changed. And This is what we're not recognizing now. And so This was used illegitimately to flood the country for nefarious political power and purposes. And that's one of the most wicked things that we've seen in a very long time. Richard, I appreciate so much for joining us. Again, your website is?
Truthandliberty.net and RichardHarrisMinistries.com.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate we've made a good friendship here across from Richmond, Virginia to Colorado. God bless you, my brother. And friends, become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. Remember, the other guy's not doing it. God's depending upon you. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.